You are listening to the Massive Report podcast.
Welcome to the Aiden Morris Show. We're all merely here to watch, and in this case, to comment. It is the Massive Report podcast, a rare 10 out of 10 for Aiden on the website. And that's as high as you can go. I don't know. Maybe Murph has this stowed away somewhere. How many players got 10 out of 10? We'll talk about that here in a moment. Sam, behind the controls, Murph is here. Bart, Brett, how is everybody doing after a 4-0 win over Real Salt Lake? Who picked the score?
Who did that, by the way?
Good me, job, Brian.
Me.
You out-barted me.
Yeah, I did. It finally worked out.
Which, I
think that's the first time.
Is that even possible?
Well,
apparently it is.
We'll get to all that here in a few moments. We're at Saucy Brewworks, as we try to be every week, and you should be here every week, at least once a week, for your beer needs, your coffee needs, your food needs, all your needs met, your soccer needs. They got the screens going. They have a crochet night, don't they?
Yeah.
I haven't attended that yet.
Every Wednesday.
Right.
No, I'm not sure about that.
It's every Tuesday.
Okay. See, we're close. So maybe we should take that up as a hobby. You can make little booties for the young Bart on the way, you know? All right. Fair enough. Like and subscribe if you would. Before we get to the guts of this thing, I just want to give you guys a chance to allay any concerns or put a stop to any confusion about the future of the website, because it's no longer affiliated with Sports Nation or whatever the hell they're called.
SB Nation slash Vox.
I've already forgotten about that.
They don't matter.
Screw Ezra Klein.
So what should we know about where the site is being housed, the podcast, and so forth going forward?
Well, Brian, I'm glad you asked.
Thank you, Sam.
So themassivereport.com will remain themassivereport.com. Actually, there's no the. It's just
The V.
Drop the V. We are close to campus, so I guess.
Ohio State took that.
Yeah. So we're gonna. So massivereport.com will remain. We have gone independent. If you have been on the website lately, if you're wondering, our web address right now does have a dash in it, and that is only a temporary thing as we work through
between
that domain.
Massive and report, just for the record.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
right. You can't just put it anywhere.
Don't randomly put a dash. It will not take you anywhere. So as we get our domain transfer from SB Nation, it will go back to the regular massivereport.com, and everything will be hunky-dory. However, having said that, and since we have gone independent and now have incurred a decent chunk of expenses, if you, your company, your friend, your next-door neighbor would like to sponsor Massive Report, please reach out to me at Studio 79. You can DM me, or you can reach out to us at massivereport@gmail.com. Or, you know, swing by on like Monday night and come talk to us. We're here. We're not that expensive, but it helps us, one, stay independent, two, continue to provide top-notch podcast and coverage
of
Columbus crew.
Well, I will tell you, as an employee of a radio station that's moved several times, it is a pain, and there are many steps that have to be taken because of the website and so forth. So bear with us, but we are maintaining and going forward.
I think this will help dispel the fact that we are all corporate shills, because the crew has not stepped up. The Haslams have not
stepped up
to just take over the site and allow us to run at a very high octane.
I mean, what's his truck stop?
Flying J,
The Massport podcast brought to you by Flying J. I mean, maybe we could work something out there.
Look,
I mean,
I would write really positive things if they
Sheets
just.
Sheets is everywhere now. The competition's getting fierce.
If they took us over.
What's that? Hey, wait, Sheets is calling right now. It sounds like the six-figure sponsorship?
Yeah, I mean, if we could have a really nice website, and B, you know, pay people for the work that they do. Even Vox didn't really let us do that. So, if there's any really rich people out there that like this podcast slash the website, it would make everyone's life a little bit easier.
Sure.
And Brian, you know, he's a professional who do great ad reads, but he's also like Ron Burgundy. He will read whatever copy you give him. So
hand
just
me
think
some
about
scotchy
that.
scotch, and, you know, we'll get through it. All right. Fair enough. Let's get on to the game. 4-0. Aiden Morris with the 10 out of 10. Murph, 10 out of 10 is pretty rare in my experience for the game grades, huh?
Yeah. Look, I think you win two games by a combined 10-1, which, according to our friend Steve Cirque, the Crew have never scored 10 goals in two consecutive games. I think there is going to be a lot of positive and potential overreaction given the opponents. Aiden Morris played really well. I don't want to take anything away from that. But while we talk about this, I may continue to just be like, let's pump the brakes a little bit on various things that happen, especially given Real Salt Lake. You talked how poor they were defensively. They started a 17-year-old in goal.
We'll get to that here in a moment because I'm really curious about that. I don't, you know, we see teenagers playing all the time these days, but in goal, that's something. But Bart, you wanted to jump in there.
I don't think you should pump the brakes, actually. Okay. I think, you know, we should go pedal to the metal. I said it, you know, it's not as spicy a take today as it was last week when I tweeted at MLS. But I think Aiden Morris, I think I told them they tweeted their, you know, right now MVP picks, early season MVP picks conversation. I said they're sleeping on Aiden Morris.
He's not even on the list?
No, not on, not on the list.
Was that you or GCG back?
Well, I was admin for that one. And unfortunately, I will admit that I got a little too eager when I was doing it and I transposed the I and the D. So I got the first response ever from MLS Twitter and it was just dragging me for misspelling Aiden's name, and they did not respond this weekend when I just kept adding them every time he scored a goal and did again Morris, and after the second one, but he's been obviously exceptional these last two games, but he has been good all season, and he's doing everything that you can ask of him and more. He's leading the league in tackles. He has the best passing percentage of the league of anyone with over 200 minutes. I think there might be a couple other defenders and then guys that have, you know, all of 7 minutes and five completed passes. Obviously, the goal's coming, but everything, the way he impacts every game. And I say that as a guy, you know, you look at who scored right now. He's in the starting 11 for the whole season. That's my go-to when it comes to soccer nerds sites. He's consistently rated over an 8 there, which again is basically like getting a 10 on the Massive Report. That's no dig on the Massive Report. Who scored is stupid. But he's been everything that you want for this team. And what's so exciting is that, you know, again, is anyone passing the eye test? But you've got Wilfred Nancy who's saying, but I know that I can get a little bit more of him. He's talking about, yeah, I need him not running quite as much. He's learning. The key passes are going up too. I'm really excited, and I think he's going to remain at this level. Maybe you may not expect a lot more braces from him this season. I'd be surprised with that. But I think to add, you know, this goal-scoring threat to the repertoire that's already so solid in a position that's just so critical for any team, I think he needs to be in that conversation.
Brett, we know he's going to leave. He's going to get sold off. I mean, not to put a wet blanket on everything, but he just keeps doing the things that he needs to do. If you're running a club anywhere in the top leagues in the world, you know, look in Europe and so forth, where do you place him right now? Where would he, what level is he at, do you think?
First of all, I'd like to say that I'm also in the market for some land in Overreactionburg. So I don't know what the visa process is to join you there, but
you have to miss the first game of the year.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah, fair.
Because you scheduled poorly.
You know, whenever the our benevolent corporate overlords decide to let me into that country, I'm right there. Bart and I will be arm in arm in terms of moonwalking our way into that territory. But to answer the question, you know, Aiden's probably the world has. The midfielding world, I think, has changed a lot in the last decade, and some of the specialization that you're seeing guys, kind of gravitate towards because of the rigidity that we've seen across formations in international soccer and across the global landscape of the game at the club level as well. So for a guy like him who can play defensive midfielder. He can be a box-to-box eight. And now he's showcasing a little bit more ability and maybe taking a step in terms of development in the attacking third, I think is just another example of this basically limitless potential that the guy has. It's still kind of crazy to me. Artur was a little bit like this when he first came to Columbus, where when you say his age out loud, you're kind of shocked at the number. It still blows my mind that the dude is still 21 years old. I'm going to say that again for everyone. Aiden Morris is 21 years old. That's absolutely insane. His market value goes up by the game. The price tag increases. So he absolutely can play in Europe. He's a top, you know, European league guy. Serie A in Italy has changed a lot in terms of the differentiation between like the best clubs, mm-hmm. and then there's like nothing in the middle, yeah. and then there's a lot of really bad.
Yeah.
But like in terms of the individual play, like he absolutely could play in Serie A. I think he's that type of guy. Like it wouldn't shock me to see him being in a Champions League squad in, say, you know, a year and change from now. He absolutely is that level as far as I'm concerned.
So the message is, as we've been saying for weeks now, enjoy him while you have him, because that's just the world we live in. And yeah. he's stated it as a goal.
Right.
This is what he wants to do. So it shouldn't come as a surprise. Yeah. So I'm just going to enjoy it while it lasts.
France or Italy? That would be my guess.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I'm interested. Like, Aiden did not play that well in the Philadelphia game. Now, a lot of the crew didn't play well, especially second half. So I'm interested how he plays against some of the best teams in MLS. Because
eventually we're going to play somebody good again.
Right. Well, not for a while, if you look at the schedule. No, this is actually a time where the crew can really start to move up the table as they have. But I think Aiden has taken a big step this year. And then that next step, probably before he jumped to Europe, is, okay, how do I do this every week, no matter the opponent? And we only have really one, I don't know what Toronto is right now, but Philadelphia, now that was the first game of the year, so take it, you know,
they're
a little
kind
bit
of struggling
the
right
they
now.
They are. But you know that that's a good midfield that's played together, and they were able to contain him a little bit. So, and also then, and this may not be a crew problem, but down the line, how does his game evolve from being a guy who's everywhere to being a guy who plays more with his head than, you know, and that's a down the road problem for sure. Mm-hmm. Take the goals out of that game. He still played really well.
Yeah.
Really well. And you have to take advantage of an opponent that can't keep track of you. And he did just that.
Yeah. And the fact that there have been two examples now in a row of clubs, opponents that have nothing going forward, quite literally nothing going forward, realizing that, I think it's very obvious. I think right around the 20, 25 minute mark, there's a save that Patrick Schulte makes at the 30 minute mark in the RSL game, where you kind of realize like the switch gets flipped and they realize like that's probably the best attack that this team is going to come up with. And if we're keeping that out, okay, maybe we can, you know, thumb on the scale in terms of the attacking side of the game. And so you saw Aiden kind of push up the field a little bit more.
Yeah, there was, and it seems like at that point in several games, and maybe this is just my imagination, but it seems like there's some sort of defensive lull late in the second half, and it seems to happen a lot.
That's pretty typical in terms of, I've never had to articulate this before. So first 10, last 10 is a high volatility area in terms of soccer across the globe, right? Goals, whatever it might be. In MLS, it's actually like 20x relative to the rest of the world. I don't really know why. I genuinely don't know why.
Huh.
I think it's, to me, it's probably a fitness thing in terms of the travel and how many teams that we have at altitude, and that Whereas, like, the rest of the world doesn't have to deal with some of those
things. That's a great point.
I really don't know.
This is a big, stinking country.
The statistically, analytically, there's, like, it's a trend that no one's been able to really kind of, like, quantify as to why
that is. That's something that we absolutely do forget, is that in the Premier League, the travel, for instance, is really
easy. It's basically the difference of, like, Columbus to Chicago is like the longest trip in the Premier League.
And, not even really.
And here we're playing in two countries on a massive continent. So that is an excellent
point. So I don't quite understand why that seems to happen. But the consistency of it is also kind of crazy. That's the almost predictability of it is what's insane. But I think with the crew, it has a little bit to do with the fact that they, with what we have seen so far under Wilfried Nancy, that this team is realizing in the first half that these opponents are inferior, right? And with that, I think, comes the occasional opportunity for an opponent to counter because too many guys are so too far up the field. They haven't been punished for that to date, which is just fine. But I think in terms of what we've seen so far from Columbus, it's just a really tier one attack against teams that are well below average. And that's contributing to everything that we're seeing in terms of the goal scoring numbers and the attacking numbers at large.
Murph, what do we know about why Salt Lake started a 17-year-old kid? I felt so bad for this guy. He actually was okay for what he was left to deal with by the people in front of him, the grown men in front of him. I felt like
he started well, too, by the way. He's in the right place for Christian Ramirez is basically point blank.
So obviously there's talent there, but it's just really rare to see such a young kid in that position
This level. On the way here, I was listening to SiriusXM, and it was Tony Meola and Eric Winalda, and they were talking about this. They were talking about him specifically, Beaver. Eric?
Gavin Beavers?
Gavin Beavers.
Yes, Beavers.
And because Miola is a goalkeeper, Winalda is involved with the Las Vegas team in the USL, which is an affiliate of RSL, which is where this kid came from. He grew up in Henderson, Nevada. And Winalda was just saying how he felt so bad for him, and he hopes it doesn't affect him. And Miola made the point that giving up four goals in your debut can be a mental thing for a goalkeeper. But this is a kid that it was a name I'd recognize. Now it stands out a little bit, but I think he's a guy who is highly regarded. As you pointed out last week, Brian, the defense for Salt Lake has not been good. And I think they hoped that you put in a young kid in goal, and he's a kid that they're really excited about. And it was probably a little quick by Pablo Mastroianni, but
so there wasn't an injury or anything. It was let's try something different. A guy who's not old enough to vote.
As far as I know. And look, if you're RSL and you're coming into this game, I think, just watching last week, you kind of have to think, they can't do that again, right? even with the guys back, they're not going to score. That was an if you looked at the previous games for the crew, the offense hadn't done a ton. So not that that's the reason that you start a 17-year-old, but I do wonder if Mastroianni and his staff were kind of expecting a comeback to earth from the crew. And maybe if they hold the crew a little bit longer, if Aiden keeps scoring in the 14th minute, that's a good way to get games going. So, it is a weird one. You're right. Goalkeeper's a long career type of position, and usually guys don't make their first starts unless they have to until later than your average position.
One thing, I do think that Alex Matan really set the tone for this game in that second minute. He gets an interception just right around the midfield line, and then just goes in and absolutely manhandles, I think, Vera, their center back, who's got, probably a foot on him, and then serves it up on a plate there for Ramirez. And again, great save from the kid Beavers, but that's when you are seeing a player like Alex Matan, and again, just another example of the maturation of him, and I think we've got some other Matan hot takes for later in this, but to see that that performance and the way he just absolutely shrugged off just a much bigger man. And he did that a couple times. I mean, he's not getting pushed off the ball anymore. And that's such an encouraging thing to see, because that was one of the real big differences when he first came to the team, which was to be expected with a kid who's 5 foot nothing and was, you know, what, 18 when he came over here. He has put on some weight. He's a brick shit house, and he's still serving it up. It's wonderful to see.
And I think, Brett, what we're seeing from Matan is I think we were skeptical at the beginning of the season, and we were expecting perhaps, you know, an 8 performance and a 4 performance. But he's developing a real steady consistency with his play.
I think it's probably fair to say this at this point, that the fact that he was not included at any point in Caleb Porter's final season of the Columbus Crew is a pretty searing indictment of his the Porter era coaching staff's evaluation of Matan, especially for the fact that he basically came into this season after, I think also exile was probably the best word, and went while his loan to Romania might have been comforting, and the fact that he's back home and all of the back in his home country and all of the positives that come from that, he got hurt and he didn't play all that much. And when he did play, he wasn't that good. But the fact that he comes back and basically hits the ground running at a full sprint speaks to his sense of resiliency, his confidence, and I think kind of the overall kind of maturation process. The fact that he's a must start guy for this team. And will be, as far as I'm concerned, probably for the entire season. The free flowing role that he has definitely suits him. I always felt like he was a guy that did better centrally than on the wing when we did see him, especially in 2021 when he actually played a decent amount. Having a wing back as opposed to an outside back, being a little closer to him, helps. And
he likes overlapping guys.
Yes. And if you notice that, like, you know, so the phrase pocket winger is kind of in vogue right now. And he is a lot of times hips, shoulders parallel to the touchline while receiving a ball to his face, right? And that's almost always coming from the outside back. It's a lot of times it's Farsi on the outside, so that's a pretty easy turn to turn in field. And then more often than not, he can go back to Farsi on the overlap, or he has an option to his left, and then he has the big switch to the near side of the field, the left side of the field. And you saw that a number of times where he was looking for Will Sands, did it in the Atlanta game as well. So the Wilfred Nancy coaching staff obviously identified a playing trait of his where that turn from hips, shoulders parallel to the touchline, turning left into the field to then be able to have essentially 3 passing options off of that is a huge asset for him. And it's something that he's extremely comfortable with. And now I would say, how many goals have we seen as a direct result, basically, of that combination? Probably 4 or 5, mm-hmm. right? And that's absolutely remarkable from early on in the season. I think if you were to identify that in preseason and you got 4 or 5 goals off of that specific thing for the entire season, you would be ecstatic. Yeah. 6 games in, you've got that many is pretty unbelievable.
I think we talked about the next step with Aiden. Matan's still a young guy, too. When he gets pressured on the ball, he tends to give it up. If he has space,
yeah,
like when he gets in that half space, he's really good at picking out. And I think that next thing is, whether he's going to be a dribbler or whether he just needs to be more composed, I think that's the next. But getting him into finding those things, like Brett was saying, identifying those and getting his confidence high because he's doing what he can do best, I think is crucial. And I think what you're seeing here, and we could touch on a number of different guys, there's a lot of attacking options on this team now. And it's not the Cucho Lucas show, which I think it was too much the second half of last year.
Well, and I think in the last couple of weeks, we've been sort of waiting for, we've been talking about these kids. Let's talk about Darlington Nagbe, the old guy. And we were kind of wondering about his play and how he seemed a little lost. How do we see him in terms of the last couple of games fitting into the new system?
It's different, and actually, as we're sitting here, I'm looking through our tactical review, and one thing that they did with him a lot in this game was, and this is well pointed out when this comes out, I recommend taking a look at it, he shifted wide, and Aiden held the middle, and he shifted wide left, took the space that Will Sands vacated a lot, and then Marrera did the same thing on the other side, and so he's being asked to do different things. Now, at times he got forward because there was plenty of room to get forward.
Got the shot that led to the goal.
Yeah, and that was probably the worst moment for Beavers because that should have been saved. But I think, again, they've found ways to use him that fit with what he wants to do. And I think Caleb appeased Nagby a lot because they knew each other so well. He knew... But at some point, and I've said this before, like I felt like you were only using parts of his abilities as opposed to, okay, here's what the other guys do. Nagby can do a lot of different things. So, like, let's figure out what the other guys can do, and then we can specifically ask Darlington, okay, fill in here or step into these spaces. Or, you know, he's a guy who can do a lot of different things. Whereas some of these younger guys, you make it simple for them, they excel. And I think that's been a big thing for Darlington is, yeah, maybe he's not taking as many shots that he did in this game, but he's being more effective, I feel like.
Well, yeah, one of the big disconnects, I think, that you saw with Darlington and the Caleb Porter years is the idea of what do you do well versus what does the team need you to do? And there was a lot of, well, will you just do this well? Even though there's a fairly glaring kind of gap or hole that we need somebody to fill, but we're not asking you to do it for whatever reason. I've said this before on the pod, but if you're a glutton for punishment, go back and watch some of those 2022 games where Darlington Nagby has nobody around him. Yep. And essentially the buildup, and a lot of this happened, by the way, in the opponent's attacking third, so in the Crew's defending third, essentially like Darlington one on three, please turn and go I can't tell you how many times it was literally like go D was the offense, right? Or part of the buildup. The having options to combine, I think, is definitely something that suits him well. He's not being asked to wriggle out of basically 2v1 situations with a lot of times facing his own goal, so which is a whole other challenge to begin with. It's the thing that I think helps Darlington is when you're really good in the attacking third, right? When you're not necessarily... if he doesn't have to get forward because he kind of doesn't want to, and that doesn't that's not kind of a subtraction in the attacking third, that suits him just fine. And so Aiden kind of filling that role, Matan filling that role, and then because of the presence of the outside wing backs, taking some of the defensive responsibilities off of the wingers, for them to be more central, the wingbacks are essentially in proximity enough to be able to track back to catch anything that might be like a clear wide counter transition opportunity. It suits Darlington Nagby really well. And so I think all things considered, it's a net positive for him. And it also, I think, contributes positively to the Crew going forward, which to me was the most glaring kind of and necessary improvement that we needed this team to see from this team, and they're doing that.
Well, and I think, look, we gave some shtick to Nancy a couple weeks ago when we felt like he didn't do the right thing going to Red Bull. These last 2 weeks, and we've touched on it, but like he has found the right buttons to push in these games. And look, it hasn't been easy. You were without some key guys. Now Atlanta was too. And yes, you're playing a bad RSL team, but you had to figure out, okay, how do I reintegrate after such a good performance, especially offensively? How do I reintegrate guys? And he has done that. And as we've touched on, he's finding ways to get guys into the right. Like Will Sands is another one, who Mo Farsi, like they're not being asked to do a ton outside of what they can do. but it's they're doing it effectively. And you can see, you know, these runs from Will Sands, the crew highlighted it after the Atlanta game. You know, the assist on that goal was similar to what he'd done last year against, I don't remember who it was against.
But Cucho scored.
And you saw him doing the same similar things, getting the ball by the defender and just going. Mm-hmm. And, like, it's nothing, you know, he's not doing stepovers. He's doing it. Mo Farsi, same thing. They're young, they're athletic, they can run.
Yeah.
They can cross the ball. Mm-hmm. Let's use those. Yeah. And it's not rocket science, but it's smart use of players, especially young players, that right now at least is working really well.
And his defensive responsibility, the outside back's defensive responsibilities are essentially reduced because there are three guys behind them that are literally closer to them. Like, if we're going to really peel it back to, mm-hmm. and distill it to its most kind of simple level, whoever the left-sided center back is, Valencia was the one that we saw most recently, he's just flat out closer to Will Sands. So anything that goes over his head, he's vacuuming that ball up. Whereas if there are only two, that's a decision for that left-sided center back when there's only two guys there. It's a lot easier of a thing for them going backwards and defending in those transition moments to be able to handle.
You mentioned Valencia. He was a guy that was very much a mystery to us. Mm-hmm. We didn't know a lot about him. Came from Colorado. There was some reports that perhaps he was a bit inconsistent, but, you know, now all of a sudden you're wondering if they're really going to go out and find another person to put into the room in the back there, or if they're just happy with him.
I thought he played great again today. I mean, he has, you know, I think three long ball passes, you know, played well, and that's one of those things. I mean, I don't know if he's, but he's young enough at 23. I don't know if he's, you know,
he's a big starter, dude.
But, you know, it's one of those things, like, look, if you can play your way into it, that could give us a luxury of, then again, potentially, if, you know, if Mo Farsi sees a little bit of a drop-off, where you could push Steven Moreira back out there on the right and put Phil Quinton, when he's back and healthy, there at that center, and then Milos over on the right, because you cannot... it is hard to overstate how important it is to at least have a left-footed center back, especially with this back three rotation. I mean, Newcastle did not have a left-footed center back for years. They get two of them.
We're not allowed to talk about Newcastle
United. Not that, I mean, anybody beats Manchester United. Tom Prestes' kid beats Manchester United, but
that is accurate to and Tom Prestes and I were talking about it on Twitter.
Owen's really. No, we're in case you don't know, we're referencing the one of the Crew Academy teams, and Owen Prestes, who scored, was today Monday the 3rd, the Jenny Adidas Generation Adidas tournament. The Crew beating Manchester United. Crew
U17. Yes, U17.
With Owen, who's a bit of a dead ball specialist, by the way, and has a really mature kind of. Kind of like way of going about adding texture to the ball, well beyond his years, curls in Olympico. By the way, Olympicos are not a thing. This is a great hot take, and this will be a TED talk for a second. The Olympicos are a lose-lose situation, right? It's either, if it goes in, it's one of two scenarios. You either shot it and are a selfish jerk, or it's an accident because you mishit it. There's no other scenario. Obviously being under 17, obviously meant it.
No, so that's what I was going to say. The only Olympico I've ever seen live was in one of my daughter's games when she was like 12, and this girl just... It was just
banana balls.
This is the only Olympico in Crew franchise history. There are no other ones.
don't run to the sports book and bet that, all right?
Thierry Henry famously scored one against Andy Grunebaum, I believe.
Matt Lampson.
Matt Lampson.
And in case you are a newer Crew fan, Tom Prestes, a goalkeeper who played for the Crew and DC United for many years. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's great news there, and a big accomplishment for those kids.
Just real quick, that's a fun team, and there's a lot of talent there.
Where do you go and see them?
They were on Apple TV today.
Oh, yeah.
At some point, we were going to have an Apple TV conversation, and it's not going to be pleasant for Apple TV, not that they care what we think, but being able to watch stuff like this is the Generation Adidas Cup. Mm-hmm. I watched that game, which I didn't realize ended at like the 65th minute or something.
Full. Yeah, and the field's not quite as big either.
Oh, okay. But the Then Portland was playing, so I just kept it on. And, you know, it's nice to just have access to something like that. So there are positives to what they've done in Apple TV. Anyway, let's carry on with the first team.
All right, real quick before we leave this game, which was another great positive, a lot of fun to watch. Patrick Schulte has kind of solidified his hold on the number two position,
yeah,
wouldn't you say?
Yeah. So Aloy Room had, this seems to be going around, team, knee pain, which is what we heard from Cucho. Sounds again like this
maybe
was precautionary.
It has to do with the kind of car they drive.
Maybe, yeah, that's good. That was a pre-podcast,
you know,
conversation.
It's they're driving a clutch. You could get a little uncomfortable if the seat isn't positioned correctly.
Sure. I don't know how
that
much
third pedal, that pesky third pedal.
I don't know how much Ayler was driving as he was getting scored on again and again and again by
Lamborghinis cause knee pain.
Maybe, but I. You know, I think that was the biggest surprise because we
get
didn't
yourself
know that.
A Ford F-150 automatic transmission and stuff.
That I don't know if we're in the business of some yellow podcasting, that would be a great like subtext for the when we tweet this out later. It would be like Massive Report episode whatever it is, and then the tagline is Lambos cause knee pain. All for it.
I think it's worth looking into. That's all I'm saying.
We do need sponsors. Mm-hmm. If Lamborghini wants to sponsor
so
the show.
Or no, I mean, that'd be like Ferrari's got to sponsor
right.
us to so, put
yeah,
that
yeah.
out there.
Star Show and Auto Group up in the Canton-Akron area, you know, hit us up.
But yes, I do think Schulte has taken over that number two spot. Mm-hmm. Look, I think after the Philadelphia game, the last two, he's played well. Brett mentioned earlier he had to make a save in the first half. I think he had to make a couple.
He had two really big ones that like high leverage kind of situations.
Yeah. And I think you're seeing his confidence grow. I still think Aloy is the starting goalkeeper when healthy, but I like the way Schulte comes off his line. I think Aloy is fine with his feet. I don't worry about that a ton. But he doesn't, you know, come out of the box a lot. Though I have noticed it a little bit more, and I wonder if that has to do with some, you know, obviously this is a Nancy thing, but, you know, seeing Schulte do it and have success, I don't know if you change a guy like Aloy at this point in his career too much.
No, but it's nice to be able to trust the next guy.
Yeah.
You know, it's always, it's like football. Who's your backup quarterback? Because you're going to need him. So it's just nice to be able to have a person that you can trust back there.
And I think that's just one thing that's another great bonus for Crew, too, because we've seen Crew draft keepers in the first round several times, I think, the last 5 years. But you don't really, there's not that good opportunity to develop, especially under your roof. You got to either put them on loan or they're not going to get any minutes.
Right.
And so the fact that he was able to play there, Crew, too, but they're training near the first team, they can all keep an eye on him. I think that that's going to be one of those nice things. I mean, you see other guys who did well in MLS super draft picks that, you know, Betcher today, or who's player of the week right now for Vancouver, who's a guy who played his trade in MLS Next last year, and now he's contributing in MLS.
All right, 4-0 was the result. One of us picked it correctly, but, you know, we won't dwell on that. Let's move along. There were no goals for our next opponent, as DC United went to Chicago, and it's a rematch with a game we saw just over a month ago at home, going on the road. The one guy that we didn't see was Funtas, Taxi. He could have scored 3 or 4 goals against Chicago the other night. He banged one off a post. He was, you know, I don't know what the expected goals were for him alone, but they were definitely hard done in a game that they should have won in Chicago. I don't know if you guys saw any of the highlights.
Yeah, the DC looks like they're on kind of the wrong side of some luck at the moment in the goal scoring, specifically in the goal scoring side of things as well. Christian Benteke has been pretty impressive in terms of
he
the hold up play.
With his hold up play,
yeah,
I thought
really
he
good.
Was has looked very impressive when I've seen him, not only against us, but yeah.
I mean, he's a flat out problem and a matchup nightmare in the air. So I kind of think there's some pretty decent upside. Some of the tactical stuff that they're doing doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me, but that's kind of without some of the necessary context you need kind of inside the bubble a little bit. But can I just say, I hate DC, playing DC in April, and then you're done. To me, DC United is an late September,
Decision
October
day game.
Playoff implications type matchup.
Yeah, it is how strange many, that we're done.
How, this is something that we touched on the TV broadcast over the years. How many times has DC been a positive or negative kind of catalyst for a crew team going into the playoffs because of a late regular season game? The fact that essentially the season series is over before May, vomit. Gross. Let's do better on that, because as far as I'm concerned, and this maybe bleeds well into our Apple TV conversation that we may or may not have on the podcast, but that to me, that's an old school original MLS rivalry that was born not from geography, but from matchups in big moments, right? In playoff games. It happened and was created organically. When we drift away from those, and scheduling goes into that, when we drift away from those, we lose a little bit of the context of the history of the league that is so crucial to the overall success of what this league is and isn't. So the fact that we're playing DC twice, we meaning the crew, I'm not a we there, by the way. I tried to stay away from the we word. The fact that the crew is playing and will be done playing DC by April 10th is a problem. Not
look,
good.
Brian, it doesn't have a cool rivalry name, okay? Yeah. And it's not San Jose. Mm. Sorry. Welcome to MLS.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, the big difference is we do have to play them this Saturday and then not again unless we meet them in the playoffs. Mr. Taxi is being dropped off at the stadium. He's going to play this time, and I thought that he looked good, as I mentioned, against Chicago. To me, it's those two guys that we just talked about.
Yeah.
We have to contain them. We have to limit their opportunities. If we do that, I don't have a whole lot of respect for their defense either. They look pretty ragged and soft back there, even though it was 0-0. That could have gone a lot of different ways. Kai Kamara could have scored the game winner, if not for a great save at the very end for Chicago. So it could have gone a lot of different ways. I'm just concerned about those two guys.
Yeah.
That's the key.
And the other thing, too, that's a factor, Audi Field, or at least I believe that's what it still is called, they're finding something or rediscovering something in terms of the fan support there and in kind of the stadium atmosphere that they've been lacking over the last handful of years.
It looked like the New England highlights that I watched that they had a really good crowd.
So I think the idea of a home field advantage sometimes feels overblown in terms of like crowd influence, but they're maybe rediscovering the footing that they, you know, that they had, the pedigree that they had in terms of, you know, La Barra Brava and like everything that
they should have never moved out of the old
what
RFK
was.
That was the home field advantage right there.
So
raccoons.
So that's something that's also a factor in this game as well.
I like Audi Field. I've been there three times. I think I've covered a game there, and then I've been as a fan twice. And to me, it's kind of a blend between the new stadiums and the old stadiums.
Yeah.
Like it's...
it has old stadium concourses.
Yeah, like the Concord for sure. Yeah, it feels like
the
historic
crew
stadium.
Just like an old stadium too.
I think I've mentioned this before. When we talked about stadiums to go to, if anyone is making the trip to D.C. for this game, I recommend going to is it still Barra Brava? Do they still go by that name? The sports group,
Eagles,
whatever their supporters group is, I recommend going to their tailgate. It's right down the street from the stadium.
Are they welcoming?
Yeah, they were great when we were there. I recommend looking that up and going to that. But I like that stadium. I think, you know, the last game there was the Cucho Lucas off the bench that looked really good, and then the crew gave up a really late goal to Ola Kamara. So, you know,
blown call in that game.
Yes. Well, there's been a few of those at Audi Field. Will Trapp had the one. Look, if you go back and look at the history of these two, and I know that the rivalry Brett spoke about hasn't been the same in recent years as it was early in the league's history, DC has hurt the crew a lot. And the fact that DC has been down, I think, has been a joy for crew fans and a lot of early people that were around for the early MLS seasons to see them struggle and be able to do things like beat them 2-0 a few weeks ago, and you know, you hopefully, for the crew's sake, you go in there and are able to do the same thing. I will be interested to see, I think every week almost, maybe not every single week, but almost every game, Nancy's thrown something different at us, whether it be lineups or just tactically. And this is the first time we've seen him face a team a second time this year. Obviously no Cucho still, but what, you know, what did he see in that first game, or what does he see on film from that first game? Okay, yeah, we won 2-0, but where can we exploit them? And obviously that works the other way around as well. Wayne Rooney will be looking at the game they played in Columbus. But I always think, especially if you play close like this one, it's always interesting to see how things change tactically and adjustments made by managers and how it works.
Well, I think Rooney's going to be looking at the last game, and I didn't watch the whole game, but I watched, you know, the highlight package, which was pretty generous in seeing the important parts of the game and how unlucky DC United was. And I think they're going to be taking positives away from that match. And this game, they have to get results. They have to get maximum points in this, or they're going to be dead and buried. And it's hardly into April.
You know? Yeah, it's. I don't know if I would feel comfortable in saying it's a must-win game for them, but I definitely think it's an opportunity to show some quality, especially in front of goal, and then doing it at home is all the more crucial for them.
And I think it's important, you know, if the crew, as I mentioned earlier, this is a stretch where this team can really, really rack up some points, and they have obviously here. You got DC, you got New England at home, you're at Charlotte, Miami, that's where things start to. So the rest of this month, you've got an opportunity, and I think you would like, yes, I know this game's on the road, but you know,
you got to go for it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, go for it.
Look, I don't expect this onslaught of goals to continue, but
it can't.
You have little faith.
Ride the offense, you know, right. Keep the offense going, yeah, as much as you can. And take advantage of these teams that aren't playing well right now, because, look, we're going to get later in the schedule, and there are tougher stretches. And I know that, you know, coaches have always said early in the year, you know, you're building something, and obviously Nancy's more concerned right now with performances than he is results. But it makes it a lot easier come, you know, August, September, if you'd banked some points early, right, in the year when you played the teams that weren't playing well.
Especially when the midweek games start coming in. And obviously the crew, I think, has done a really remarkable job in building depth, that it doesn't feel like there's a ton of let off from like the one group to the two group. But when those midweek games start popping up later in the, you know, in the second third of the season, in the back third, that's where all the, if you really put your foot down and you basically, you know, hoover up every single point you possibly could in the first handful of months, that's where it pays off.
I'd like to see, Bart, this team show an ability against DC United. Not that I don't want to see a lot of goals, but I think I would be satisfied coming out of this with like a 1-0 win, where we really have to show up and be stout defensively, and the goalie has to stand, who is Schulte or Room, have to stand on their head a few times, and we have to figure out a way to survive in perilous situations.
Yeah, we haven't really seen this team, you know, kind of, I mean, I guess you can say you can close out a team when you're adding a couple of their goals on top, but you know, really close out and kind of hold on one and play, you know, with the lead and protect the lead. Again, I want to see them attacking. I want to see them dictating. And you know, best way to protect the lead is to add 2, 3, 4 more. But I think that would be, you know, be a positive sign to see them be able to kind of get it done all those different ways. That's, you know, what you're trying to build for Wilfred Nancy. You're not always going to have, you know, be playing an RSL team that's got a 17-year-old kid, or again, a 17-year-old kid at center back for Atlanta, with everyone else that they've got. But I still think that, you know, right now, I don't want them. I think this team's feeling it, and I want to see. I don't want them to change a thing.
No. I'm just saying that there would. I just want to see that ability to do it, because sooner or later you're going to have to.
Yeah.
You're going to have to win an ugly, you know, as they say in college basketball, a rock
steal a
fight,
game or two,
a rock
too.
Fight. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not necessarily pretty to watch. Maybe this isn't the game where that happens. Yeah. But sooner or later, you're going to have to be able to do that. Yeah. And I just, I've got a, just a bit of concern about this Saturday. I think we're going to get their best effort. They're frustrated. Mm-hmm. I can tell. They are frustrated, and they need a result for their fans on Saturday.
Well,
so,
and the other is, how would this team really respond if they go behind, right? We haven't, you know, we saw that a little bit in Philadelphia, or no, even Philadelphia, they did they score first?
They score first.
Yeah, they exactly. So we haven't seen this team come back from a deficit effectively. And so while I don't want to see them fall behind, you know, that's one of those things you also want to see if, as a coach. You're not going to have a lead the entire season.
All right, shall we make our picks? So I know Murph has a social gathering that he needs to attend to.
I always have social gatherings, including this one right here.
The Murph dance card is always full, so we need to get Murph out of here. Sam, I'll let you pick first. What do you think? 3-1 crew? 3-1. All right.
Wow.
Murph?
Hold on, I'm jotting down Sam's prediction here.
Do we need to do we want to go through a recap of I
sure.
mean, obviously, Brian, you've mentioned, you know, once, twice.
Wait, he did?
10 times.
Someone it was the guy at the bar with you who bet real American dollars on a 4-0 result, which is I didn't have the guts to do that.
Oh,
the gentleman who stood behind me during the game who cashed a four goal.
And then he asked you if that was a good bet to
a
make.
Four goal payout.
That's not a good
Yao
bet
Yaboa
to make.
Just became his favorite person on the planet.
I mean, well, whoever you are, you got big clanging ones, my friend.
And by the way, shout out Yao Yaboa, first MLS goal.
Yeah, absolutely. Another guy who's persevered through a lot, for sure.
Yes, last week, Sam said 3-1. I said 3-1. Brett said 2-0. Bart said 3-0 with Matan scoring, Russell Rowe scoring, and Marrera getting an assist. And Brian said 4-0. But you said Nagbe and Quinton would score.
I got the score.
Oh, and Quinton
Nagbe
didn't even play. Oh, no, that means I got it.
Asterisk.
You're taking a goal away from me for that? I didn't understand the rules entirely. All right. Well, be that as it may, it's just a parlor game. There's no money being wagered, at least not yet.
Not yet.
It could get serious, though. All right, so we got 3-1 for you, Sam.
3-1 for Sam, yeah. I'm going to say the optimistic side of me, because they've been playing so well, I will say they win 2-1, but I'm always skeptical of going on the road in MLS. But just like I said, going to DC just always concerns me. And, you know, maybe there's not as much concern. I shouldn't have as much concern as I used to about that. But so I'll give the crew a win. But I do think it could be tight, like you were saying.
Right? All right, Brett.
It's a great road trip in MLS. The Wharf area of DC has done a complete 180 in the last decade. If you're looking for a great Italian sandwich, probably about 4 blocks from the stadium is this place called Grazie Grazie.
Grazie Grazie, okay.
Which is one of my favorite sandwich stops in all of MLS. And was genuinely a double sandwich. You know, get to one for now and one for, you know, on the plane ride back scenario.
There you go. That's a good pick. You don't have to pick the score now.
So, yeah, when you were talking about what you wanted to see from the crew, the word I would use to describe essentially what you're talking about was you want to see a professional performance, right?
There you go.
And I think that's just what the doctor ordered for this team in the back half defensively. So give me another clean sheet, and I think the attacking prowess continues. 2-0.
2-0.
For the second week in a row. 2-0 crew on the road.
Top that, Bart. You should probably pick 4-0.
I know, right? I'm going to stick with 3-0, and if that leads to another 4-0 win, I will take all the credit for it. And I think, you know, in keeping with the trend of crew players scoring their first MLS goal, we're going to go with, I'm just trying to, how about Isaiah Parente? He doesn't have one yet, right? I don't think he's snuck one
in. I don't think he's played a minute.
Yeah,
or did he get in? Did he get some garbage time?
He got in late last night. I was looking through. It's a little bit of, you know.
There's not many
it's
anymore.
It's like, will Sam's does he have one yet? Yeah, maybe I'll go. I'll switch in that
I think
to Will
that's
Sam's.
Probably a little wiser there, my friend.
Huh. There's not too many of them, which
this
is
will
a good
problem. This will be the Jimmy
Madranda
start for some reason. Just because.
Yeah, just because.
Not to screw with Bart.
Yeah. So,
I do want to say, there's something to be said about Nancy switching his formation to 4-4-2 or 4-4-1-1, whatever. But there was something to be said about that, because it looked like it threw RSL off because they were like, wait, what's happening right now? So that's all I wanted to say.
Yeah. Well, that's part of the mystery here is we don't know exactly what we're going to see. I kind of already set this up. I'm going to say Crew 1-0. I just think that this is going to be a bit of a fight. And I see us scoring early and then, you know, defending and figuring out how to stick together and make it happen. So 1-0, that's what I'm going with. All right, thanks, fellas. I think we got Murph out of here in time for the soiree. I don't know who schedules a party on a Monday. Thanks for partying with us here at the Mass Report Podcast. We every week at Saucy Brewworks in 3rd Michigan here in Harrison West. The beer, the coffee, the food, it's all wonderful. So come hang with us sometime. For Sam behind the controls, for Murph, for Bart, for Brett, I'm Brian. Listen to my radio station, CD 92.9. Like and subscribe to the Mass Report Podcast, and we will talk to you next week.